100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. Today is Sunday, so instead of the usual daily stories from me, it's your turn. I call this the weekly challenge, where I post a topic and you come up with the stories. No more excuses for the poor audio quality. It's just that humming, that buzzing, that probably your Facebook and Twitter and your Google Plus threads all precipitating out of the Wi-Fi in the atmosphere and raining down on your inner ears. Or not. Anyway, the topic this week was red. And we've got a whole bunch of stories this week, so let's go ahead and get right to it. First up, it's Rails Bailey. Now, Rails didn't record this, so it's up to, me to read it. So, here I go with Rails' story. "There's a red under the bed" was the catch cry of the Cold War. I looked under my bed, and all I found was dust and the odd half-chewed sweet. Where was the red under the bed? I turned the bedclothes upside down and inside out. Still no red in the bed. So much for propaganda. There was no red under my bed. The government were lying or maybe holding the elusive red under their bed. I slept more soundly when I didn't find that elusive red under my bed, but wondered whose bed he was under. Thank you, Rails, but remember, that's confidential information. We could tell you, but then we'd have to make you work for the government. And that would... You don't know. You don't. Alright, well, let's move on to the next story, and that would be Thomas, up there, way up there, and then a little over to the side, and up there a little bit more, and I go, man, my tongue keeps hitting that spot. No matter how I spackle it, I'll talk about that later. You know I'm going to complain about something. But I'm not going to complain about these stories from Thomas. They're all really good. Here they are. Right for your enjoyment. Straight at you. No ifs, ands, or buts. Right, I should just hit play.
The Red Scare hit high school in the 50s when Red Buchanan transferred from his school in Oklahoma. He was a buck-toothed, burr-headed cretin with a chip on his shoulder and filled with a self-generated fantasy of being a cowboy. The nearest Red ever got to beef was at Jack in the Box, where he stuffed his big, stupid face with burgers 3 times a day. He carried a knife in his cowboy boot, but when he needed to clean his fingernails or play mumbly peg, he had to remove his boot. This negated all the coolness of having a switchblade. It turned bright red, and in the week after it appeared, it spread further until it exploded into a spray of even more intensity. The patch of Chinese opium poppies were all volunteers, propagated by the birds that live in Thomas's wild animal park and sanctuary. He waited until the petals matured and fell off, then scored the pods, waiting until the seepage flowed. He collected it, dried it, then brewed the tea so popular with his Uncle Kenny and the graphic designer next door. The electric meter reader was bribed with some product so he wouldn't turn him in. Roses are 700 nanometers, violets are 400. Johnny was a clever little guy and was in the advanced placement physics class. He wrote his first poem for his classmate, April, hoping to impress her with his knowledge of light and wavelength. Functioning at the highest level of Asperger syndrome, Johnny could only relate to autistic students or teachers that were appropriately trained to deal with special students. Misunderstood and teased by other students at Roosevelt Junior High until he opened his own software company when he was 9. Selling it to Google for cash and stock when he turned 11. The ketones played nightly at the Red Moon, smooth as silk. They did all the 50s tunes that we slow danced to. More ladies were impregnated in the parking lot of the Red Moon than in the town of Port Hedlock. The ketones practiced on street corners for a couple of years. Then, around 1958, they ran into a couple of guys who also sang on the corner. Eddie Montgomery and Frederick Money Guitar Jones. Jones, a lefty, taught himself to play a right-handed guitar held upside down. Earl Poppendew played the bass, and Tommy Three Balls Johnson was the percussionist.
Thank you, Thomas, and all of you should thank me for stopping, clearing out the last draft of this ramble after Thomas, and then starting again, because I'll leave the dental adventures to the end, but, you know, all in all, fuck you, SoftLayer, fuck you, MetLife. God. All right, so, but fuck you to me for not going into the dentist office enough. Never mind. So, let's continue. Smiles, if you can. Tour Bregianu sent in a story. They were taking a break last week, and they were spending some time like, oh, I know this topic will be read, and they just, you know, hitting the nose to the grindstone. Totally. So, now for your grindy nose, this is Tour Bregianu. I'm excited.
Mommy, what's black and white and red all over? I sleepily turned over and looked at the clock. 3 in the morning. Jack wasn't there. He must still be up working again. Go back to bed, sweetheart, I murmured. What's black and white and red all over? She repeated. I don't know. What is black and white and red all over? I said, playing along. She didn't say anything. A newspaper. A book? I have to show you, she said at last, in a small voice. Jack wasn't there. I didn't hear him typing. I silently whispered, a suicide note.
Dang. Ooh. He stole his typewriter. Thank you, Tura. Black and white and red all over? Well, it's not the cat one, no. They've got a little white in their claws and a bit in their eyes when they got that wide-eyed crazy look, but no, they're all black. Well, okay, they're butts, but they're pretty much all black. So it's not a cat, because it wouldn't be black. So, all right. Thank you, Tura. Got this spot on my toes. Never mind. Next up, Shruti. Oh, goody, I get to read more. Alright, and here, and... Okay. I just gotta make sure I can read these. You know, in the middle of it will be like crack, and then you have to re-spackle the back of that tooth. Alright, so here's Shruti. For a change, she was quiet. The woman had driven him to bankruptcy with her demands of jewelry in exchange for love. He had been angrier with himself rather than her after she left. He had let her take him for a fool. He hadn't come intending to hurt her. All he wanted was what he'd paid for. Her refusal had been her downfall. He let the blood drip down the knife's edge, creating a pattern on her neck as it went. Rubies had been her favorite, and he thought it justified to adorn her with the red necklace. Yow. Okay, just making a note, do not date Shruti. Okay, thank you, Shruti. What are you doing with that knife? All right, let's keep going here. I should probably make this show quicker than usual so that I don't have to re-spackle my teeth again. Next appointment's on Tuesday. I'll tell you more towards the end in a long, rambly bitching session, but you probably already heard it if you've been listening to my Audioboo. It's like audioboo.com/whatisfullofcrap or something. Do I have to post a link? But it's out there, and also on my tongue-in-cheek, or tongue in the spot of the spackled tooth, the sad, miserable adventures of another unemployed guy day, whatever. This is the last day of my unemployment, by the way. The new job starts tomorrow. I'm sure they're just going to be delighted with me licking the back of my tooth constantly instead of, oh, I don't know, paying attention to all the stuff that they need me to do at the new place. Yeah, that's going to be great. Yeah, just getting off on the right foot. That's my specialty. So at least we had the bread bag. I'll tell you about that too. But first, here's Tom.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I have updates. Jeffrey is one story shy of 10 in a row, thus 5 away from monkey status. Guard 1300 is 3 shy of joining the monkeys with 12 tails. Bot Girl enters the top 40, passing AM Early, Eva Moon, and Ashley. Serendipity passes Terry and Lisa into the 32nd position. Lizzie and Cliff pass the Nuclear Kid into the 25th place. Red Goddess passes J. Rasmussen. Beauchamps moves ahead of Andrew into the 17th place. We have a new 9th monkey, Thomas of Fifth Coffee, with 108 stories. But the major feat of pencil-pushing prose is his own Planet Z, who this week kicks the snot out of Tom to have the second longest running of stories in a row, 149. Long live the planet. Tonight's story is called A Persian Flaw. Lester Patterson was a cautious man, drove with hands at 10 and 2, heavily insured, multiple 401s, lived on a cul-de-sac on the side of a cliff, worked for a branch of the government in an office that hadn't seen a layoff since the Taft administration. He attended a nondescript flavor of Protestant church weekly. A totally reasonable person in every way, but one. He loved the wager. This said, you might think Lester was a gambler. Far from it. The man only wagered once a year at a single casino. At one table, only one bet, 1,000 on red.
Thank you, Tom, and congratulations to Thomas. You know those stats serve to remind us that there are a bunch of people who don't write stories anymore? Maybe if you go to the links on the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com, look up their names and see if they've got any contact information, you can pressure them to come back. But that's okay. They won't. They're happy where they are. I hope they're feeling great. Let's see. Oh, the bread machine. Yeah, the bread machine. So the new job, a bunch of people that I used to work with over at EV1 until it became this, it kept changing names. And so I've had, like, every 2 or 3 years, the bread machine goes bad, so we get a new one. You know, it's usually just the pan. And you can't buy the pans anymore. I'm sure you could buy the pans online, but, you know, it probably costs twice as much as getting a new bread machine. Thank you, America. So I get ready, and I'm trying to turn the paddle, and it won't turn. I'm like, I better test it before I make a mess. And sure enough, put it in there, hit start, good, and I try to loosen it up, nope. So drive shaft, bad. We pick up a new one. I get all ready, and I get everything. And to make jalapeno cheddar, you need an egg. I'd been at the store twice. It's like, oh, crap, need eggs. At least the corner store has it, so it wasn't so far. Made it, came out beautifully, of course. So I'm going to make another one today. And that fresh one will be my, hey, welcome to the new job thing. Except it's from me. Well, they used to call me Master Baker. Don't ask. Actually, that's because of bread. I think. Speaking of, bread, let's just, butter up the toast of Jeffrey Fisher.
This is Jeffrey Fisher with my entry for weekly challenge number 333. The Girl in the Bikini by Jeffrey Fisher. I put down a folding chair and a bucket of beer bottles and set up my umbrella on an unpopulated stretch of beach. Mostly unpopulated, anyway. A young woman lay out on the hot sun, working on a nice even tan. She had slipped off the straps of her bikini top to avoid tan lines and was now lying on her stomach. I picked up the new Brad Thor thriller and started reading. 4 beers and 300 pages later. That guy knows how to keep the pages turning. I looked up. The woman hadn't moved in several hours. I assumed she had fallen asleep. Maybe it was the beer talking, but I placed the book on the sand next to me and yelled, "Oh my God, a shark! Run for your life!" As I hoped, the woman woke and rolled over, exposing her breasts as her top fell to the sand. She grabbed a towel and glared. "You bastard!" I shrugged. I thought you'd want that sunburn to be applied evenly. It's true that she beat me mercilessly with my book, but her yelps of pain each time she whacked me showed it hurt her more than it had hurt me.
Ah, young summer love, where did the time go by? Oh, right, spent indoors in the air conditioning as the heat index rose above 110. Just, is it ever going to rain again? Thank you, Jeffrey. Good. So, the bread, it's all ready. All the recipes for my bread, I've stolen mercifully from various books, but they're up at the main site, isfullofcrap.com. Lower right, there's a list of all the recipes there. I don't know if they're in alphabetical order or if they're in what it thinks is chronological order, but the jalapeno cheddar. And I've eliminated the bad jalapeno cheddar one. I put in the good one. So the one with sour cream, real good. So let's see. Who else has stories this week? Oh, we've got one from Lizzie. Ooh, I got musical there. I better calm down. Lizzie, tell us a story.
"He said, go," protested the soldier holding a gun. "No, he said, take your time," replied the other soldier. "He said, go." "He said, take your time." And this continued for half an hour. "Are you done?" asked the sergeant suddenly. "Get going now." The soldiers jumped the side of the trench and started moving, still fussing about the orders, not paying attention to the whistling war around them. It was fast. It was painless. Their lives and their disagreements were now part of the past. Their families would receive a letter of condolences. It would be stamped in red. This is my story for the week. Visit my blog at lizziegoodkopf.blogspot.com. And if you like, get in touch with me through Twitter. My name there is also Lizzie Goodkopf. Okay, talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. She says she needs to stop killing her characters. No, no, you need to kill more of them. Wipe them all out, then bring them back as zombies. And then have the zombies eat all the new characters' brains. And then vampires and zombies. And I don't know how that works. I'm sorry, I've jumped the shark. Ooh, then have sharks as, well, would the sharks be zombies or zombie sharks or vampire sharks? I don't know. I'm running out of ideas. How about I just kick things over to Guard 13007 and see if he has any ideas?
Hello, it's Guard 13007 again. Now for a story about red. A red LED turns on, then blinks twice and turns green. A whole board of lights goes on and off haphazardly, and there is a whirring noise in the dark. A flood lamp flickers a few times and goes out. Several LEDs turn red. There is a hissing noise and a set of chemical lights activate, revealing a hibernation pod in a foggy green glow. The hatch squeaks open and the occupant looks around. He pulls the hibernation equipment out and slowly sits up. He looks at the wall of LEDs, a few green, most are red. And there is blood. Thank you for listening. See you in space. That's my new outro, because I need an outro for some reason.
You know, that outro is so good, let's make it next week's topic. See how that works? I would never, ever, ever pick the topic in advance and then wait for somebody to say something that matches it and say, oh yeah, that's the topic. That would just be wrong. Thank you, guard. Speaking of people who should be under guard, the genius that is Muncie is always coming up with ideas. They're just bursting forth from his head like Athena coming from is that Minerva? Oh, God, maybe they're twin sisters. Ooh, twins. Hot and wise. No, it's not what you're thinking. One can do the laundry and one can cook. Oh, God. Oh, now I'm going to get letters. The goddess of the hearth was... now that I've shown myself to be a... something pig. God, what's the word? Starts with a C. Chauvinistic. Just, my vocabulary is going. Chauvinistic, you can't use at all on a Words with Friends board. Oh, yeah, you try it. If it isn't used in Words with Friends, I don't remember it anymore. My mind is going, Dave.
Greetings, listeners, and gird your loins for another story from Munsey. Are they girded? Yes? Girders in place? Good. Let's begin. Red Rum by Christopher Monroe. I finally bought myself a bottle of red rum. I figured it'd provide material for stories going forward. You know, unexpected deaths, scrambling to hide bodies, the whole thing. Something pun-based, yet horrific. Disappointing. Nobody died. No horrifying revelations. Overall, it was an uneventful night, drinking rum and struggling to write. I may have overdone it. Rum's never agreed with me, and putting down the whole bottle was probably unwise. Now my head's pounding. I'm queasy and I can't focus my eyes. I've never had a hangover this bad in my life. It hurts like myrrh. Oh, I just got it! Flash Fiction at ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com tweets at Munzee Munzee. When I said gird your loins earlier, I might have misread. I meant to say guard your lions. That's my bad, and I hope that while you were listening to this, nobody's absconded with your exotic feline companions. Though if they did, really, what were you doing keeping lions anyway?
Thank you, Muncie, although what was happening was I was busy girding my loins when lions attacked, and they tried to get my loins. Well, there were pork loins. I was girding my pork loins, and why am I making pork loin? When I'm supposed to be on a diet. I'm supposed to be on a diet all this time, 2 years. And this week, Marge Simpson kind of, no. Instead, what I'm going to do is read Serendipity Haven's story. Because, well, it's Serendipity didn't record it. So, yeah, it's up to me. Me. Yes, me. Ooh. Did Cliff... record? Hold on. Okay, so Cliff didn't record his either, so just a few more that I need to... Okay. just, it's not like I'm, you know, like... You just heard me. And it's like, okay, it's all in the planning. It's all in the planning. If you don't plan, you run out of energy at the end, and it's like, oh, God, now I just gotta do this. So, here's Serendipity's story. She has eyes of startling red. It's never bothered me in the slightest, but it seems other people are oddly freaked by it. Vampire, they ask? Some sort of medical condition? Is it some bizarre body modification thing? Why do people always have to leap to the wrong conclusions, coming up with crazy ideas when it's actually nothing much? There's no mystery at all. Just ask her and she'll explain. It's really very simple. She just has really bad aim. And lip gloss has always been a bit of a struggle. You should see where she puts the eyeliner. Really? No, I want to see. Can you send me a JPEG? Oh, thank you. Serendipity.
JPEG war didn't happen.
Yeah, I hate it when that happens.
End of the world? Yeah, JPEG war didn't happen.
Whatever. Oh, sorry. Let's keep going. God, my tongue keeps going there. I should probably...
Sorry, spackle. Anyway, clear out the old spackle, put in the new spackle. Yum, it's tooth spackle. It's like drywall for your mouth. Anyway, let's go ahead and remember, vampires are excellent drywallers. Never going to forget that phrase. Speaking of vampires who are excellent drywallers, let's check with Zach Man.
A bad fanfic by Zach Man. Fiendship is magic. So sweet, yet so foolish for you to come into the woods with me, Pinkie Pie. Did you think it was strange when I asked if I could tether you and bring you out here all by yourself? No, it was fun when Spike did it and we tried a bunch of stuff from a book Purity was reading. Bet you wish Fluttershy told you she had an evil sister. After I tie you to this tree, I will cut you and use your red blood to summon... Oh no! Do not summon Discord, interrupts Pinky. No, silly. I'll summon Garaga.
Ooh, can we summon them? Really? Will they show up? Okay. Alright, we'll have them show up for next week then, Zach Man. Thank you. Who else? Botgirl? Sure. Okay. Let's get Botgirl going here. And, no, wait, that one's the other one. And, no, there's a new audio file. We're not going to go with the old audio file. We don't want old, you know, cruddy audio files. No, we want new audio files. Yeah. So, don't, as I said, you know, MP3 files, or if you have to, WAV files. But no wax cylinders, all right? Come on. This is the 20th century. So, let's go with Botgirl.
We look across the room and meet each other's gaze. Deep, dormant trauma stirs, rising and morphing through layers of thawing emotion until it surfaces masked and cloaked. We oscillate from pole to pole, emotional magnets, flipping between attraction and repulsion, love and hate, benevolence and jealousy, anger and sadness, connection and isolation. Marionettes on invisible strings, we dance until we are entangled and bound. If numbness does not prevail, we descend back through the depths to the pain and grief hiding beneath our rage and the terror cowering in the heart of our desire, silently praying to be healed.
Thank you, Botgirl. Glad we used the new audio file on that. Woo! Man, am I playing a lot of Words with Friends games? My cell phone is acting up. The button on the top, the lock button isn't working right, the home button has been acting up for a while. All my cell phones die at least a week before the new ones are available. The last time I had a BlackBerry that got destroyed in the rain. That's how I wound up with a 3GS. You know, the day before, they were killing the unlimited plan. So I've still got the unlimited plan at AT&T on this thing for a little while longer. And then we're going to go to the 5. And it was available, let's see, the unlimited plan died a month before the 4 was available, and I never bothered switching. Because, like, I heard nightmares about the 4, and, you know, it's like, oh, the 4S will fix them all, and it's like, all right, and it's like, I don't feel like switching. Now, my sister is a 4. But tomorrow I get a cell phone with the company, so, yay, it's going to be a fun one. That, you know, it's like, can you hold on a minute? I'm licking the back of my tooth. I'm licking the back of my tooth. Oh, wait. In other words, with Friends game, and, oh, okay. So, by the way, on Words with Friends is full of crap. But none of you are playing. You know, maybe one or two. I don't know. Just, come on. Keep me. And I probably won't be, you know, playing all that much in the next few days since I'm going to be up to my ass. And, oh, I have to do that, too.
New job. Let's hope I keep it. So next up, we have Monday Jinx. He came in with that Relay for Life thing that we did, you know, with a whole bunch of people. So he's come back. So welcome to the fun again, Monday, and here's his story.
He never got past the antiquated idea from the decade of greed that red was a power color. He wore red ties and drove a red car. He wrapped his pathetic crotch in red bikini briefs, further stoking the fires of his own ego. He came home from work and announced red letter days to his wife, whom, incidentally, he felt could go a little bit heavier on the rouge and lipstick. His drink of choice was Campari and soda, a blood orange monstrosity pronounced with annoyingly elongated Massachusetts vowel sounds. In short, he was a true world-class douchebag.
Thank you, Monday. And, man, I should have waited to set the topic until now, because next week could have been douchebag. Oh, God. I hate missed opportunities. All right, so let's keep going here with Cliff. He didn't have time to record, so guess who gets to read it? Me. Modern fire engines, sort of a sickly yellowish color. I guess I'm a traditionalist. I like old red fire trucks. I love to see them racing down the streets. When I was a kid, I would stand on the curb waiting to see them roar past me on the way to douse a blaze. The bigger the blaze, the more trucks I saw. When a house burned, they'd send three. When the school was destroyed, there were a dozen trucks from around the county. No one ever noticed that I always knew when they were going to show up. Well, now we know, you sick little bastard. You had a police scanner, right? Thank you to Cliff there. Do I smell smoke? Let's see. Who else is up to bat? Ooh. Sevi and Bonchance. That's right. They got a new site out there. Novavox. I'll put that in the show notes there. Novavox. Nova, meaning tasty salmon. And Vox, meaning Vox. So, Novavox. All out there for your enjoyment. I should probably just play the story.
Crab Mariner's 100 Word Challenge. This week, the challenge word is red. These are collaborative works between Severina Halostar, Bonchance Longfall. Red. Marilla looked at her violin, the same hue of red as the violin in the movie. How she wished she could play as sweetly as its previous owners. Impossible. There was only so much the public school system could do. Mr. Peppa, the music instructor, told her mother. Special training was required. There was an extraordinary music camp that summer. He told her the cost. She watched her ma lower her head in shame. Impossible. Her fingers traced the outline of her prized gift. Marilla sadly began to play Elder Weiss repeatedly. Each rendition better than the last. Anything is possible. Red. Sarah spread the ironed cotton t-shirt on the table. Red paint ready to color the pencil-traced calligraphy. The crimson shade would pop on the crisp white. The letter B for bully would be the only letter. The scarlet letter. The box was addressed to her so-called best friend. The handwritten note would be her final response to her cruel words. She ended the letter saying, "Wear this with pride." The knife gleamed bright in the sunshine. Tears streamed down her face as the cold steel cut through her alabaster wrists. Her splattered blood signature tainted the t-shirt. Pablo was angry and seeing red. He finally found his son, Pepe. He found him in the back of a funhouse, caged and covered in blood. Not his own. Pablo brought his new friends to help distract the workers in the building. There was Sparkles, the vicious calico kitty, attired in a beautiful velvet bow. He was accompanied by the other recently released puppies as they made the distraction in front. Molly and Maggie, the twin wiener dogs, were doing their part by waddling wildly through the funhouse. Pablo sent Pepe home, then went to the front to lend a helping paw.
Yow! Well, that'll keep me up at night. Whew! Okay. Thank you, Sevi and Bonchance. Or Bonchance and Sevi. I actually have a quarter right here, and I flip it to decide who goes first. Heads, Sevi goes first, and tails, Bonchance goes last. Because, you know, she's the one holding the leash. Right, let's keep up with the Joneses and do another one here. Brokaley is reading for Red this week. Yay, I love it when people read for other people, except when it's me, then I get grumpy. No, I don't. No, I'm fine. Oh, God, I keep licking that spot. Okay, when I'm rendering this into the MP3, I'm going to go re-spackle my teeth. It's not that bad. I mean, okay, the gums suck, but, you know, I'm 42. All right, and it's been a while since I've been to the dentist, but genetically I have really crappy gums, and, you know, from all the crap that was done to me when I was young, killer teeth. The problem is the stuff that was necessary to make them absolutely killer completely fucked up my brain when it comes to dentists. I mean, people, I'm a technical writer. What are you? Oh, I'm a dentist, and I punch them in the face. The reason why, when I went to the appointment, it's like, one, I knew the dentist would be there. There was no surprise. And two, I was completely at their mercy because I'm not going to be sticking gum up there constantly. I know. There's nothing to be afraid of. You always feel relieved afterwards. Well, then my brain shuts it down and it's all these screaming people in my head. Whatever. So, now that I've complained all my neuroses to you, not that you're listening anymore, here is Brokaley, which is a combination of, okay, broccoli and kale? Is that what it is? He was explaining it the other day. You should go to the Flash Fiction, writer thingies. What is it, 1 p.m. on Book Island? 11? 13? I don't know anymore. I'm confused. Maybe they can explain it.
Okay, well, on behalf of Red Goddess, a.k.a. Talk with Marie, here is her latest installment of Lola, entitled Red. Lola can't believe she's been working the swanky hotel for 3 years. It makes her sad to be such a natural. Lola lost her high-paying job on her 35th birthday. Instead of a 10th-year celebration or an anniversary plaque, she found herself crying in the rear corporate parking lot. Since then, Lola has learned to treat herself to red every pay. First week was a lipstick, then a red toy soldier. Her favorite was red gloves meant to complement a scarf from Morocco a guest gave her. She thinks about her past, but is thankful for red.
Okay, normally I wouldn't say anything in between stories, but the way he introduces the next one, I feel like, you know, it shouldn't be, oh, okay, enough of that, now move on to him again. So, well, them again, since he's reading for Red. But still, I needed to babble something in between, and I'm sure there is. Why doesn't he just shut up after all these years? I don't know. It's a condition.
Hey, hey, hey. This is Brokaley, very honored to be reading the second contribution this week from the lovely Talk with Marie, a.k.a. Red Goddess. And this piece is also called Red. And it comes in at the 100-word drabble limit. Here we go. Hit it! In Lola's world, a poor, lower-class black world, making a living wage is a far-fetched dream. Living requires her to make at least $40,000 a year. Just isn't there. And when it is, there are over 300 applicants every time. I'm so lucky to even have a hotel job. The globally warmed world is growing colder. Outside that fancy hotel, rich people speed walk their puppies past a sleeping homeless woman. Lola fills a red bag with food and toiletries to place by that forgotten woman. Maybe Lola does have a livable wage, since she is still living. And that's Red, by Talk with Marie. Thank you.
Ah, global warming. My heart has a warm spot for that. Is it 120 degrees out yet? Can I fry eggs on the sidewalk? Because really, I'm just tired of making them in the kitchen. Actually, I can't eat eggs. I put an egg in that one bread recipe. And if I start, I haven't done that yet. So I think I'm going to be fine. I should probably start on the loaf. No, I'll do it later. So, thank you very much there, Brokele and Red. We're learning more and more about Lola every day. At some point, she will reveal herself to be the superhero that she really is. She's really the newest Wonder Woman. It'll be like, pew, pew, fighting crime and all that. Because when you fight crime, you do it with the sound pew, pew. Who's else? Who's next? Who's that? Oh, Norval Joe. Oh, goody. I was worried about him. Are you okay, man? So, here's Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 333 with a prompt of Red. So here's my story. In a small circle, their backs to each other, the company feebly slashed and stabbed at the endless flood of goblins who climbed over the bodies of their dead companions in their continued assault. Without notice, the creatures scattered from the killing field. Owen looked at his goblin blood-stained arms, black, not red, and gasped, "Does this mean we won?" "I don't think so," Flindert sighed. Screaming hysterically, Spleen burst from the woods and ran toward the company. With the booming of shattering trees, a giant red demon, four times the size of the half-goblin, launched itself into the clearing. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Young Weedhopper, you question the meaning of life. Life is like the vastness of the universe, endless in nature, like a circle, a ring, without beginning or end, like a wiener dog consuming its own tail, like an ever-expanding raisin bun, a donut turning back on itself.
Let me know when the wiener dog consumes itself, because that's when we're at one with the universe, I think. Thank you, Norval Joe. One of these days I need to have wiener dog as a topic. Oh, wait, we already had it as part of a pick, too. Okay, don't need it anymore. Yee-hee-hee. I think we've already had space, though. I don't know. I should have a list somewhere. I'm sure that Tom has a list, and he's like, okay, these are all nouns. These are all verbs. These are adverbs. Here are the pick twos, and here's how the topic affected the logarithm of the... I'm sure there's somebody out there in social networking land and SEO land that'll be like, no, you really need to pick these topics and have those. That way you get traffic based on them and you can build up into a million readers and then you'll be on the New York Times bestseller list. And, oh, God. How do people put up with that stuff? This is why I'm sticking with day jobs and then just having fun with this. Because I sound like I'm having fun right now. Speaking of people who are having fun, TJ... That's right. I wonder how his house is coming along. Oh, I hope all those crazinesses are solved. How are things up in North... See? North Dakota, not Montana. Huh? It had been so long that I thought you were in Montana. Do we have anyone up in Montana? Do we? Well, buenos dias. Okay, that joke's gotten old.
Hi, this is TJ. I am from North Dakota, and this is called Homeless. After 2 months and $2,500, we moved out of the little red room at Ellen's. The process of becoming a first-time homeowner put me in 9 different addresses over the course of 5 months while I looked at 5 different homes and put bids in on 2. I dealt with 7 different bankers and 3 circles of hell watching helplessly as circumstances over which I had no control played major roles in the decision-making process as to whether or not me and my boyfriend would have a place to live. Finally, matter resolved. Second night in our new home. Heaven.
Heaven. Heaven is a place. A place where nothing, nothing ever happens. I find myself singing that to myself whenever I think of the word heaven. Have we ever used the word heaven as a topic? I'm not sure. Oh well, maybe it'll be the next one, after the next one, after the next one. I keep waiting for Billy Jack to show up and punch me in the face. This is for peace! Pah! Oh, thank you, TJ, and congratulations on your new home. Although I hope it's not in one of those circles of hell. But if it is, I hope it's one of the nicer ones, like the circle of, I don't know, pizza people wandering around looking for the right address. Is that a circle? Because then you could be like, well, I'll buy that off of you. Which really isn't all that hell, unless, you know, your diet is like, oh, I can't eat pizza. But still, you like the smell of pizza, but you know you can't eat it. You've got willpower, so it's like, oh, I've got pizza on the counter. It's like an air freshener, only it's pizza. It's an air pizza-ner. Is that a word? Right. Every time I think pizza, I think that Back to the Future, where they go into the future and they have that rehydrated pizza and that salad thing up in the ceiling. Who the fuck wants a salad thing up in their ceiling? You tell me. I don't want a salad thing up in my ceiling. That's just wrong. Just wrong. Because, you know, that's right under your... If you got a second floor, it's right under your bed. And who wants salad under your bed? Okay, all right. Maybe, you know, every so often. Now that I've completely gotten off track, it's time for Stephen the Nuclear Man. Stephen, let's hear your story.
The clouds of the morning sky glowed the same red as the drying Russian blood on Istvan's fur. He glanced at Janos beside him. The younger man bared his teeth. They both shifted to full farkas form, loping on all fours towards the safe house. Janos had the speed of youth, emerging from the alley just before Istvan. Svan heard the hiss of steam a moment too late for his friend. Silvered blade sliced into Janos's body. Istvan skidded to a halt, just far enough forward to see the Russian steamwalker begin to stand and ready another volley. Istvan ran. For now.
Ooh, Russian steamwalkers. Cool. I wonder what they look like. Oh, thank you to Stephen the Nuclear Man. So you want to know my dental adventures? All right, so I got this new bike, been practicing, you know, picking up groceries 6 days in a row to get the feel for going to the grocery store. I know the best route to get to work now, too. All sidewalks, so it's get the hell out of my way, instead of, don't run me over. It's better to be the fast object on your path until you run into a cop. So, also I got a helmet. I don't have a little girly bike bell there. I need a bell, ding, 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 so I can be a dimwit. But I do have a cell phone bracket. So, all right. So, I'm testing the bike. I'm, you know, eating at various restaurants. You know, oh, I never ate here. I should eat here. I should probably lose weight. No, not gonna fucking happen. So, I go to Yaya Mary's, which is a Greek restaurant owned by the Pappas family. And it's in the Post Oak area. So, I go there and, enjoying keftedes and a Greek salad and crunch. A bit of, you know, my tooth is coming loose. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't feel any pain, though. And I'm like, what? Shouldn't I feel pain? Not that, you know, I like pain. I suffer it occasionally, but I'm not seeking it out. If I am, I mean, why am I wearing the bike helmet? So, crunch, I'm like, all right. So I finish the rest of the salad. You know, duh, I'm not going to let that go to waste. You know, for a $10 salad with lamb meat on it? No, I'm not letting that go. It was good. It was good. So, I love lamb. Mary had a little lamb. I'll take the rest. So, call up, you know, I'm like, oh, where's my dental benefits card? Oh, crap. So I have to call the old job. And they say, give me the runaround. And then, oh, we cancel your benefits on Friday because that was your last day. No, my last day was Monday because that's a holiday and we had agreed pay time off. No, you can't use pay time off that way. Fuck you. Oh, and I'm a Christian, so I love you. It's like, oh, God. Yeah, I'm a Jew, so I'm going to nail you to a cross. And no, we're not going there. We're not going to the blood libel. No, I bake this bread without any baby blood in it. So, then, let's see, what happened after that? So, I called the medical provider. They said, we'll get you the Cobra out. And, oh, by the way, you have to talk to MetLife about dental. Oh, fuck you. So, I go over to MetLife. MetLife, oh, yeah, let's get you a location. We're very happy. I'm being very nice with them. And I'm not being angry at all, even though I've got a chunk out of my tooth and I've got gum stuck in it. So, they're like, yeah, that's very nice. And here's the location on the map. And so, I make the appointment. And the person never says where the office is. I got the address from the place. And I actually did say, oh, you're right across the street over there on Southwest Freeway. They didn't say anything. So next morning, walk over. Just walk across the street. I was so flabbergasted. Like, oh, I can just walk across the street. I feel like such a fool. I could have been coming here all the time. You know, every day. Like, hey, can you touch me up? So I walk in there. And I look. It's like, wait, which office suite are you in? Oh, I look, Royal Dental, 700. Headquarters. Not a single dentist to be found. Call them up. That's our headquarters. Our real location is, and it's like, well, I told you yesterday, you know, an address, and you said, not yes, 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 yes. Fuck you. So, canceled the account, and went to, the website, you know, walked back across the street. It took only 3 minutes to get home, pissed off. And, sure enough, right there, you know, oh, right there by the Best Buy, there's one. That's not that far. So I call up, yeah, the earliest we can see you is in a day. It's like, well, it's kind of an emergency. No, it's got to be a day. So I go in there while I'm walking there, and they call me. Oh, yeah, we can see you now. Oh, my God. So I run my ass off, and I'm sweating like a pig because it was 120 degrees. And I get there. I'm all sweaty. It's like, oh, you seem to have run here. So yeah, oh, my God, I know. I'm scared. I don't like the dentist. It's not that I don't like you personally. I just don't like the concept of hearing dentists. And so that really got us off on the right foot. So this wonderful woman with a beautiful Caribbean accent was just really nice to me. And, you know, it got me from crazed to only manic. They took my blood pressure, 117 over 74. No, your device is broken. My blood pressure is at least 300 over 200 at this point. Ah! You know, there should be blood shooting out of my eyes. Because I'm just and I started to choke on the x-rays they started putting me, because I always do that. And they're like, calm down. You know, really nice, really sweet. You know, kind of like Angel Jade Ryder's accent, similar to that. You know, so really, really sweet, trying to calm me down. And I'm thinking, I won't kill you, but I may maim you. Just tie me to this chair so I don't hurt anyone, including myself. So they did that and said, well, your teeth are fine. Your gums are a mess. The chunk out of there was tartar that came loose. When was the last time you were at the dentist? I was at Channel 13 from 1997 until 2001, and they looked at me with horror.
I'm like, oh, yeah, you're going to have a decision between buying a boat and buying a house out of what you're going to get. And then they went over the payment plan, and yeah. So that's all out of pocket until the Cobra kicks in. Then Cobra's going to dispute it because, you know, oh, that was in between. You know, you just signed on the Cobra stuff just to pay for this, you asshole. It's like, fuck you. They cancel my stuff early, and I still get 30 days of an option to do it, and then you have to retroactively. So it's going to be a fight. And I'm doing that all while getting ready for the new job. So I'm coming into a new job all smiley and happy, and my tongue keeps hitting it, and they gave me this professional spackle to put up there instead of gum, because gum is messy, even though gum is smooth, and my tongue eventually figures it out and just relaxes, as opposed to, oh, what's that spot? Oh, but the problem is the spackle degenerates over time. The gum, if you eat anything, gets pulled out, so you have to reshape it for a bit. So the next, by pushing it back a day, the expert in handling deep cleaning and then reshaping of gums and all that isn't in until Tuesday. So Tuesday afternoon, the best thing to do, when it's your first week on the new job is to schedule medical appointments. You know, oh yeah, this new job is really important to me, people. Oh yeah, by the way, I need to go take care of myself because I'm not healthy. Yeah, that gets you off on the right foot. You know, I'm not old and feeble. You want to hire me. I'm young and vibrant and exciting. So now you know why I'm just a little right now, as opposed to just my usual neurotic self. With all that in mind, I've delayed your enjoyment of Planet Z, who, in and of himself, is not neurotic at all.
Galileo said that mathematics is the language with which God has written the universe. Geometry is just one of his many dialects, and some shapes are more holy to him than others. For instance, the octagon is known as the Eye of God, and every octagon is a window through which he watches over us all. Yes, all of those stop signs at intersections mean that God is watching when you don't come to a complete stop. But not at red lights. Those are the eyes of Satan. And if you listen, you can hear the devil whisper, "Floor it."
And there you have it. A bunch of really good stories about Red, and a few good lessons, too. Thank you to everyone who is a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com for links to the author's websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options, and a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway. Until next week, when the topic will be space, this is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.